I am Ruth Ann Bassler, interim pastor and minister of religious education and counseling for the church. We have a very distinguished guest speaker today, the Reverend Dr. Shelby Rooks, president of the Chicago Theological Seminary, United Church of Christ. Dr. Rooks spoke to us last year on the subject, Never Be Anxious, and by popular request, he comes to us this year again. His exciting subject this morning is Unexpectedly God. Dr. Rooks.
Good morning. I begin my sermon today with this firm conviction. The substance and quality of your life and mine are determined by the character and nobility of our dreams. Carl Sandburg once wrote about the United States, for instance, that the Republic is a dream. Nothing happens unless first a dream. For Sandburg, the United States could never have become a nation, could never have established its lofty ideals and values without the proud dreams of our founding fathers. He was convinced those dreams continued to spur this generation, that the historic perceptions of freedom, justice, and equality must be our dreams and the dreams of our children. Unless that is so, the golden dream is lost. Arthur O'Shaughnessy was even more specific. One man with a dream at pleasure, he wrote, shall go forth and conquer a crown, and three with a new song's measure can trample an empire down. For each age is a dream that is dying, or one that is coming to birth. Both Sandburg and O'Shaughnessy understood the tremendous importance of dreams to the substance and quality of human life. They knew that significant change almost always is secured by the actions of someone possessed by a dream, by a person captured by a hope, a vision, a new perception of life's vast possibilities. We are the stuff of our dreams. Sometimes great leaders capture our dreams for us with words that thrill us and impel us to new heights, despite ourselves. The entire free world was excited and inspired in 1940 by the defiant dream of Winston Churchill at the moment of the Dunkirk disaster when all seemed lost. We shall not flag or fail, he said. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Were you and I not stirred by the compelling dream with which John Fitzgerald Kennedy challenged us at his inauguration 2 decades later? Let the word go forth from this time and place, he told us, to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans, born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed. Let every nation know, he went on. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of liberty. Were you and I not stirred to new possibilities for ourselves and our nation by the dramatic vision of Martin Luther King Jr. little more than 3 years later at the Lincoln Memorial? I have a dream, he declared. I have a dream that my 4 children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skins, but by the content of their character. Sometimes great leaders articulate our dreams, the deepest longings of our hearts, and spur our hopes and actions to to unbelievable heights. But not only leaders dream. Every one of us begins each day with fervent expectation. The brightness of the morning light bursts in on the dreams of the passing night, and we look with eagerness to a more pleasant and fuller life. Sometimes our dreams are small. They encompass only ourselves, our children, our families, our friends. But large or small, they sustain our inmost spirits. They are the foundation for all we do. Not one of us can live without dreams. So Langston Hughes wrote one day, "Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field covered with snow." The first assertion I make today, then, is that the quality and substance and character of your dreams and mine are related to the grandeur of our dreams. My second conviction is this: those dreams that we have are reshaped by the intervention of God. The people of God have related their personal stories about the way God has broken into their lives suddenly and unexpectedly for hundreds of centuries. That's what the Bible is all about. They have told us that when God has come, their dreams have been transformed. Whatever dreams they had, whatever vision of this mortal existence they held, the interjacence of God between human dreams and mortal reality has brought new life, new expectations, new hopes, new directions. One thing that clearly happens to God's people is that God comes unexpectedly and surprises us, and we are never the same again. The scriptures tell us that on a certain day, a man named Moses was protecting his father-in-law's sheep as they grazed on the side of a mountain. In the midst of those duties, he may have been thinking about his wife and children, wondering about their future in this barren and desolate land. He may have recalled his people in slavery, remembering he had killed one of the Egyptian slave masters and had hidden the body in the sand and had fled. He may have been dreaming about the future of his slave brothers and sisters and how he, Moses, could help them. Suddenly, he was surprised to see a bush burning. Unexpectedly, God had come. On another day, a Jew from Tarsus was hurriedly walking along the road to Damascus. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin and bore the name of that tribe's greatest hero, Saul, the first king of Israel. This Saul was going to Damascus to capture followers of Jesus of Nazareth. He intended to bring them bound to the high priest in Jerusalem to be tried as heretics. Striding the dusty road, he was probably planning his Damascus strategy. But he couldn't forget a young Christian named Stephen. A few days earlier, when Stephen had been stoned to death, Saul had been on the edge of the crowd. He remembered that not a single prayer for himself had been heard from Stephen as he died. Instead, he prayed that God would forgive those who were killing him. That memory returned to Saul over and over. And then, suddenly, unexpectedly, in the midst of his thoughts, God came. The Lord of life continually surprises us in our hopes, our doubts, our dreams. So it was on the day of Pentecost. The followers of Jesus were gathered in the city of Jerusalem. For days and weeks, their emotions had been on a roller coaster. They were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah sent by God to restore Israel to its glory. At first, everything had gone well. Then it collapsed, and Jesus died on a cross like a common thief. In the midst of terrible grief and shock, they heard marvelous news. Jesus was not dead. Beyond their wildest dreams, Jesus was with them again. Some had even seen him and talked with him. But this new euphoria did not last. Once again, he was not present. As they gathered, they wondered what to do with their lives now. Then, unexpectedly, God came. They were surprised by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It shocked everyone around them when, without warning, they began to utter strange words and to speak in foreign tongues. It probably shocked them as well. You know, the truth is that even when we believe, God enters our lives directly. Even if somehow our rational minds can wrap themselves around that startling and marvelous belief, it is still a tremendous surprise when the God of creation visits us. At whatever moment life God comes, it surprises us. Here we sit, and unexpectedly, God. We must not mislead ourselves, of course. God does not intervene in all our dreams, in every encounter and experience we confront. Most of them are not worthy of God's presence. And we can't blame our failures of deed or reason or perception upon God. Still, God does enter our lives in a variety of ways, and we are always amazed at what results. Sometimes God comes through the lives of other persons. A quarter century ago, a fledgling young pastor in Montgomery, Alabama, was flexing his new Doctor of Philosophy degree, wondering what to do with it. Should he teach or be a pastor or what? One night he went to a hastily called meeting in the black community, called because a humble woman had refused to go to the back of the bus on her way home from work. And Martin Luther King's dreams and life were never the same again. Unexpectedly, God. Time after time in human experience and history, God comes unexpectedly, and human lives, human dreams, human expectations are given new flesh, new opportunity, new directions, new goals. Surely that discouraged fisherman, Peter, never imagined he would become Pope of Rome when he looked into the eyes of Jesus and answered his compelling call. But you know, my friends, that's the sheer wonder of being a Christian. God comes to us unexpectedly, and whole new vistas of life are opened. It is the unexpected intervention of God that reshapes our dreams. That's my second conviction. My third conviction is this. The unexpected presence of God gives power to both our dreams and us. The undoubted truth is that every dream requires some vital source of power to change it from hope to reality. For Christians, that source of power is God, and God alone. Whenever our Creator enters our lives, we are given power to make our dreams real. Read the accounts in Exodus and Acts about the call of Moses and Saul, if you will. Our scripture readings this morning recount only part of that story. When God came, Moses was so overcome with wonder and awe that he hid his face and could not look at God. "Who am I," he said, "who am I that I should go to the great Pharaoh of Egypt and rescue the children of Israel from his grasp?" And God answered Moses, "I will be with you." Immediately, God demonstrated the power of that presence. It enabled Moses to speak with new eloquence, to answer every question, respond to every doubt, and counter every action the Egyptians could devise. God not only came, Moses possessed remarkable power. So it was also with Saul. When God came, Saul was literally struck to the ground. When he managed to rise, he was without sight for 3 days and could neither eat nor drink. Until the day he died, He remembered that God had sent a Christian named Ananias to baptize him and to restore life and strength. As he grew stronger, he was amazed by the new power that swelled in him. He changed his name to Paul in recognition of that power and traveled through much of the Mediterranean, recounting his experience with such fervor and faith that vast numbers of people became convinced that God loved them too. God came, and Paul received the power of faith and persuasion. The unexpected intervention of God in our lives still brings power today. Earlier this month, many of us celebrated the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. with joy and thanksgiving. In his little book of sermons, Strength to Love, King tells us, "The agonizing moments through which I have passed during the last few years have also drawn me closer to God. More than ever, I am convinced of the reality of a personal God. In the midst of outer dangers, I have felt an inner calm. In the midst of lonely days and dreary nights, I have heard an inner voice saying, 'Lo, I will be with you.' When the chains of fear and the manacles of frustration have all but stymied my efforts, I have felt the power of God, transforming the fatigue of despair into the buoyancy of hope." King spoke those words as he endured the vibrant hatred of Montgomery and the terrible castigation of the White South. He could not foresee what lay ahead, but he was vividly conscious of God's presence and the power God gave to him. In that power, he could stand tall and strong for his generation and for generations yet unborn. Those words of King reveal the ultimate power that God unexpectedly gives, the power to wrestle with ourselves. When life does not reward us as we had anticipated, sometimes we think we have been beaten by circumstances, or powerful persons, or unjust systems, or insoluble problems, or any number of things we conjure up. President Carter probably went back to Plains this week, certain he was the victim of Iran, the economy, the new religious right, and John Anderson. It is true that evil persons and their deeds often run wild in the world. We cannot always escape them. Sometimes bitter catastrophe can wreck our best hopes. Sometimes dreams are deferred beyond our lifetime. Sometimes circumstances or people or systems seem to stand athwart our dreams, to frustrate every earnest striving toward their fulfillment. But not always. During most of our days, we wrestle with ourselves to bring our dreams to life. The power to do that is the formidable power that God gives us. God comes unexpectedly at different points in life and strengthens us with power. On the one hand, when our dreams require shaping and molding, when our hopes need to be turned to possibilities we had not recognized, God comes. The presence of God in such a moment points us to splendid new dreams, gives us a strength we had not known before, to struggle on, to invest our energies, to approach life and its issues in a different and more exciting way. At first, Moses and Paul and King possessed only the bare outline of a dream. When God came, their mission was clear and compelling, and they possessed a strength, a will, a power which sustained them to the end. On the other hand, God comes into our lives again when we find our strength failing, our doubts and fears rising, our hopes receding. Few human beings are ever seized by some notable dream without confronting sometime, somewhere, a rough and rocky road. The journey of life is downright tough for everyone, great or small, famous or unknown. And we are never fully free of doubt or fear or frustration. The wonder and glory for God's people is that in just the moment we think we have reached the end of our strength, God comes to restore our confidence, to renew our strength, to revive the compelling dream. Just when our need is greatest, God comes. That is what Jesus meant when he said, "Lo, I am with you always." This is the power given to us to overcome doubt and fear. It is a marvelous and wonderful power offered by the Lord of life. I've shared three convictions with you. First, my belief that our dreams determine the substance and quality of our lives. Second, my conviction that those dreams are reshaped by the unexpected intervention of God. And third, my faith that God's presence gives power to both our dreams and us. How splendid is God, who loves each one of us so much. Amen.